This is Leaders in the Trenches, and your host today is Gene Hammett.
Hi, my name is Gene Hammett. I'm the host of Leaders in the Trenches. This is episode number 317. My question for you is, how do you get the most out of your employees? How do you create high-performance type employees? Is everyone high-performance? Well, let's be honest. Not everyone that you hire will reach the level of high-performance. There will be people in the middle, and there'll be people at the lower tier of that. So how do you get there? Today, we're going to talk about that with one of the Inc. 5000 CEOs. Their company's grown like mega fast from 6 employees to like over 110 in 4 years. They've reached the Inc. 5000. This is their second year. They're probably going to reach it. I'm getting tongue-tied here. But we're going to talk about high performance. We're going to talk with Rob Brayman. Rob's with Cogent Analytics. And Rob is going to share with you insights around what are the key elements of identifying your top talent and what do you do with that top talent. What specifically can you do to make sure your company is going to grow at the pace that it could grow at? So here's the interview with Rob Brayman. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Great, Gene. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. We've been talking a little bit before we cut on the recording about your growth in the market. But before we jump into this, let the audience know a little bit about you and who you serve.
So I have been a serial entrepreneur most of my career. I was an old special operations guy that got out of the military and ended up really with a first job and then ended up having my first equity. I think I was 27 or 28 years old, but I built 3 companies. Then I became a business analyst for another consulting firm who recruited me. On around 2014, I had a company under my own banner for a while, but on or about 2014, I decided to build Cogent Analytics as a small business consultancy. And it's really small to mid-size business marketplace, but all privately held equity. We don't, by and large, do the publicly traded companies. We've had a couple in our history. I enjoy the entrepreneurial spirit, because at the end of the day, I am one. And that's probably where I've invested the entirety of my career, is really working with small business owners based on, you know, the normal challenges that you might see in small business. But I think I'll leave it open to you to ask me all the questions and see if I can do okay with that.
I've been doing a series of these interviews with other high growth companies. You've been on the Inc. 5000, I think you said, in, what is it, 15, 16?
Well, 16, we were 233 in the country and number 5 in the state of North Carolina. So, and then, I believe 17 will also, we had another big year in 17. And then again, 18, we're projected to grow substantially.
So as you grow faster and faster and your company gets bigger and the revenues get bigger, it's harder to make that list. I mean, I just want to ask you, like, what are the key things that you focus on as a leader to keep consistent growth of your company?
We are very much focused every day on building a culture that grows leadership. I mean, it's probably my number one challenge every day, whether I'm representing a client or whether I'm representing Cogent Analytics as its CEO. You know, when you get to a certain size, it really is about people. And we have a phrase that here in Cogent Analytics that our success is not predicated on a great vision that I have provided for this firm. Our success is predicated on other people taking that original vision that I had, making it their own, and more importantly, making it better. And that's the same advice we talk about every day internally. And it's the same advice I would give to a client, is be acutely aware that as you grow, you have critical people that you're going to put in your company that at the end of the day will make or break its success. So if you think about a football analogy, you know, if you're going to go out to the draft and hire the rookie from the draft, those are people you're developing in your organization. Most often a small business owner will look at free agency and they'll hire that right candidate. Well, then the key is that a cultural fit for our organization? Is it, and I hate to make it simple, but is it an emotional fit? A lot of times you have very talented people that don't necessarily culturally mesh with the vision of where you and your partner or yourself are taking your company. And very quickly you identify, you know, that lack of success you had through that hire looking backwards on it. I think that I see that quite a bit when I'm representing clients, is make sure you pick the right person.
I want to dig into some of the things you said there. And, I don't know how familiar you are with my research. I know before we cut on the recorder, I shared a little bit with you, and there's 6 disciplines Would you be surprised if I said the first discipline was all about vision?
You know, I have had the privilege of reading a little bit, but I did not know that about the vision.
The first one is about not necessarily, and it's similar to what you said. It's just like kind of saying it in a different way. It's people have more ownership when they're part of the vision and creating the vision and the refinement of those visions. So, you know, go back in time, leaders like you said, this is what we're doing. This is what we're here to do. Here's what we're creating. And maybe it was just you. Maybe it was you and a small number of people. No longer possible to continue the growth you have. You have many people involved. And if they're part of that vision, they have more ownership.
Yeah, we've gone from 6 to 110 in 4 years. So you can imagine the different faces and personalities. And not only have we grown geographically, but we've also grown in our service offering. And in all honesty, without people that were motivated to make the Cogent Analytics brand what it's supposed to become, and I try to be a guiding light, right? If I'm very clear for my leadership group and then down to the very new starting person in this organization, you know, as far as how they matriculate into the success of Cogent, we start from the very first training session with talking about who we are, who we service, why is it important? Because people don't interact with what? People interact with why. You know, if they don't believe in the vision of the company, there's no way they're going to be able to help that company grow.
Hi, this is Gene Hammett. I'm the host here at Leaders in the Trenches. And I just wanted to make you aware of some of the changes that are going on inside the show. Maybe you've noticed them already. Maybe you haven't. First, we've moved the website. It's now going to be genehammett.com. Leadersinthetrenches.com will still get you to where you want to go, but we really want to focus on serving you, and doing that in one website is so much better than trying to maintain two. And we are also creating a new episode each week. It's heavy on tips. This is just me sharing some insight in less than 5 minutes that could help you to be a better leader, to guide you to be that transformational leader that you really want to be. And all of this is to better serve you, to create something that is more shareable and really valuable to you. So make sure you go to leadersinthetrenches.com or hypergrowth.tips to get those weekly tips. And one final thing here is, if you're enjoying the show, if you really are getting value out of it, then I'd encourage you to go to iTunes and leave us a review. To make that easy, if you're listening on your iPhone or Android, you can go into the description of this episode and you can click right on to iTunes. Just give us an honest review, put a few sentences in there about what you like about the show, and we'll be able to mention that back in future episodes. So I'd love to give you a shout out, make it easy for you. Just go to the description on your phone and give us a review there on iTunes. Now back to the interview. Well, we know vision's important to business and to the culture of the business. And I keep hearing over and over and over how you've got to hire into that. But I want to switch gears on this, because a lot of people know that we need to hire people with vision and culture and those things, but they're having really a lot of times getting more performance out of their employees. So I want to just turn it over to you and say, you know, what are those leverage points that you focus on to get more performance out of the people that are growing your business?
You know, it's funny. We were just doing a project review with one of the virtual consulting group, and one of the clients, and I'll just say they're in landscape, right? It's about a $2.5 million company. He's had his company for 5 years. He went from about $1.5 million. He, you know, slugged it out for about the first 4 years. And then all of a sudden he had the big $1 million growth, which required him to hire additional people. And, you know, originally he was able to touch everything. You know, he knew what job was going to start, and he bid every job, and he made every sale, and he handled every customer. And all of a sudden he woke up and realized that $2.5 million, I can't run my business the same way I used to. And he spent about the last year really trying to figure out, you know, all of his people all of a sudden didn't become bad. You know, he had a really good group of people that at $2.5 million, there was a much different environment than he was unaccustomed to. And one of the biggest things that we started working with him on is how to get actual measurables. And, you know, that when you think about landscape or you think about manufacturing, you know, those are two fundamentally different things. So the manufacturing is easy because you can always count parts or pieces or production, where construction or landscaping in this particular illustration is a little bit more difficult, right? It's how much production can he get out of his team? And then how, more importantly, does he know that a good job was performed? How does he know that the customer service was the same as it was when he used to handshake with every customer? And those processes or those measurables were what we were fundamentally working on. And he didn't believe to begin with it. It sounded cumbersome to him. You know, why do I have to do these measurements? Why is it important for me to have a roundup meeting? Why is it important to review the jobs once a week? And for some of your listeners, they're going to say, well, we do that all the time. But I'm sure there's going to be some of your listeners that are thinking, wow, I'm at that exact same spot where I'm growing. What are my next steps? How do I address it? And I think if I was going to advise, you've got to be able to come up with key measurables, not that you impose. You've got to come up with key measurables that your leadership group all believe it. It's a train that they can support, that it's part of the overall vision that you had, going back to your statement before. But more importantly, they agree as a group that these are the things that we're going to measure to get employee performance. Because what you're asking that leadership group to do essentially is manage the things that you always used to touch. And you can't run around and always try to figure out how good or bad each individual made a mistake on or did phenomenally on. That should be part of that new management structure that you're putting in place, that organizational structure that everybody understands what is measured as a good performance. And then more importantly, how do you reward somebody for that behavior, right? So it isn't just I'm telling you to do a good job. I'm getting you involved in what that means. I'm getting involved in how it was measured. And then we're going to review it together to make sure that we both agree that we outperformed what we said was going to be a good measure to begin with. So I hope that was a lot of words explaining really, although I'm very passionate about this issue.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to the whole concept that I found when I did this research with your fellow Inc. CEOs, which was leadership that inspires ownership. Performance comes when, you know, a higher level is when people feel the pride of what they're doing and they do this. And very simply, and if you're listening there, you've heard me say this, I'm going to repeat myself because it's just so powerful. Leadership is not getting people to do the work. It's getting them to want to do the work.
I have a different way of saying that. Leadership is about getting other people to understand ultimately that they can perform at levels unperceived, right? That is true leadership when you get people to outperform what they thought they could perform at. So a little different way to say the same thing.
So how do you do that, Rob? How do you get them to outperform what they perceive?
For us, because we very much, and I say us, Cogent Analytics, but we represent a lot of clients in the small to mid-sized market space. For us, what we believe is good communication up front, setting an agenda. Let's start exactly understanding at the beginning of where we're going. So the old four-letter word called plan. Right? But not just me giving somebody a plan, more importantly, getting young leaders or more tenured leadership group to create that vision for me as opposed to me creating it for them. I try to give people an objective of what we're trying to accomplish, solicit as much input as I can from the leadership group, and then get them to design the solution to the problem. So I think things should be, you know, especially at the $2 million breakpoint, Gene. If you have a startup company listening today, they're going to say, well, I have to do it all. And I would agree, when you first start your company, you're going to wear a lot of hats. But as your company matures, don't covet those hats, right? Start getting other people to share your vision, give you good feedback. And you'd be amazed at how successful, and it doesn't matter whether it's a millennial. You always hear the millennial story, right? It doesn't matter whether you're talking to a millennial or you're talking to a 65-year-old who this is his last job in his career. If you get them engaged, they're going to participate because now it's something they see individual value in. At least that's my thing.
Well, I tell you, the research with all these other companies is very much in alignment with what you're talking about. Rob, I want to, as we start to move to the end of the conversation here, I want to just ask you this question around performance. Like, we talked about measurables. Is there anything else that you're doing in your one-on-one meetings or within the culture to really enforce high performance?
So we, you know, there's an old adage that says the best organization is the best trained organization. The second best organization is the second best trained organization. So we spend a lot of time, and people have accused us of an inordinate amount of time, but I would tell you that our growth is an example of why we've been successful. We spend additional time and effort every single day getting the newest people in our organization to not just understand what we're asking them to do, but more importantly, have that what I call second tier knowledge. So if I teach you how to do a thing today, what I want from you tomorrow is to come back and tell me what you're doing different on how you make it better, right? So that type of training, when you're doing 360 training, you're not just training somebody as an outbound, I want you to say A plus B equals C. What I'm giving them is training them that A plus B equals C, but more importantly, tell me how we get to D. And that type of training where other people are, we call it working away from the ball. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about tenured consultants for us, whether you're talking about our analytic group, whether you're talking about our business development group, each one of these groups in our organization focus on training every single day because legislation changes, business changes, people change. You know, we are change managers, for lack of better words. And if you're not getting right down to the root, which is how do you get people trained, whether it be internal or the clients that we represent, what are the methodologies to get that buy-in? And it really, the vehicle we use and the vehicle that I try to teach clients is start with the fundamentals, start with blocking and tackling, training the expectation, and then getting them to give you feedback on where or how we make it better. Hope that answers your question, at least.
It does, because, you know, just putting it very succinctly, you know, you're going to train your employees to do the job. But then what I heard you say was, and then we're going to encourage them and give them the power to go a step further. How do you improve on that? How do you, how are you adding your special element to it? And that's where the high performance comes from. And if you build that culture consistently, everyone rises, right? And everyone's looking for the next little element of this growth. And sometimes it's not even, I'm going to, pick on you just a little bit. Like a lot of people go, how do these Inc. 5,000 companies grow so fast? And I said, they don't think incrementally. They don't think that they're going to do 10%. They're thinking way beyond probably what they're doing. And that's the reason they're able to get to, as you mentioned, 47% in a year after you're already doing multiple millions. So I appreciate you being here. So what you're talking about today around high performance and around the vision and the culture is really powerful. I always have this element of practical and actionable. So if you're talking to the business owners listening in here today, Rob, what would be the first step in this if they want to get a little bit more out of their employees, that high-performance employees?
So my advice is going to be a little different depending on where in the cycle that they are. But I will try to give you a little bit of generality in hopes that gets you, Gene, to what you're asking. For us, for Cogent Analytics, our growth obviously was predicated on being able to grow our organization with the right people doing the right things. And we've talked about organization, we've talked about vision, we've talked about training. I think the last piece to that really comes down to knowing how to identify talent, people that have the want. And that gets missed a lot. A lot of times we hire new people, and if you've got the right environment, you'll see people with a lot of want rise to the surface. They'll rise to the pinnacle of success, because I think that's the human condition, right? If you were to hire 10 people, of those 10 people, you're going to find one or two of those people, if you've done your recruiting and training correctly, that are high performers by nature. Being able to identify that high performance attribute, the thing that we call the X factor, and not being threatened by it, but more importantly, getting as much opportunity with that person to, as we've said before, share the vision, grow the vision, build the elements of the success story with you, not covet the hats, and then be able to focus on key initiatives like how are we going to have revenue growth? How are we going to expand our marketplace? How do we do R&D market with new products? Right? You can't do that as a small business owner very, very successfully without help. And most especially as you start to get up to 20 employees and beyond, that's where we see the greatest challenges as that business owners face. They haven't taken the time to do the planning because that's one more hat that they didn't have time to do. So strategic planning, knowing where you're going, knowing what organization you're going to need, redefining the processes and redefining how those measurables work. And then more importantly, understanding that profitability, and that's not a dirty word, by the way, profit is not a dirty word. Profitability is something that can be engineered, done well. Profitability should be engineered and should be built from the very, very beginning, no different than much of the initiatives that you're doing. So all I can say to you is that if we focus on one and two, what it should create for you is the group three, that 10%. And then when you have non-performers in your model, you can't be afraid to attrit. One of the worst things that happen to a small business owner is they hire a guy today, and within 6 months, they know that that guy is really not who they needed, but they're afraid to find somebody else because then they got to go start over at number one. They got to start over at month one again. So yeah, all of a sudden, it's a year down the road, and this person's cost them a lot of money. And then they decide to retire that person out to pasture, and they have to start over again. The problem is, what's the cost of waiting that additional 6 months when they really knew what the truth was at month one or month two, and going through the pain of building the organization that you really have to have and being very unrelenting about finding those key players in the organization that will help build a viable and ongoing sustainable company?
Well, I appreciate the intricacies of that explanation of how do you do that. And I agree with you. You got to identify that talent. So Rob, thank you so much for being here at Leaders in the Trenches. If our audience wanted to be in touch with you about something and you said something that sparked their interest, how could they best do that?
Absolutely. Our phone number direct to Cogent Analytics is 336-665-8154. And you can always contact us directly through info@cogentanalytics.com or contact me directly. That's R Braiman, B-R-A-I-M-A-N @cogentanalytics.com.
Well, we'll put all that in the show notes. And Rob, thanks for being here.
Gene, it was great. Thanks for the opportunity. Hopefully this conversation helps at least one of your listeners. And anytime you want my input again, I'll be more than happy to come back.
All right. Such a fantastic interview. I love doing what I'm doing because taking something at a really high level and building a bridge down to the details of it is what I do. I've done over 500 of these interviews, and talking with Rob today just reminded me of how much I've seen in all of the different elements around growth and leadership. And if you have a question that's driving you crazy or just a very specific problem in your company and you would love to talk to me about it, make sure you reach out. Make sure you find me either on Twitter @GeneHammett or find me in my email, gene@genehammett.com. But otherwise, do not just sit there and think that it's going to get better over time because it probably won't. Again, my name is Gene Hammett. I'm the host of Leaders in the Trenches, and you've been watching amazing leaders tell their story and their journey of growth. Stay tuned for the next episode here. And as always, lead with courage.
Well, thank you for listening in. And this episode has been a great one. I'm wondering, what is the single biggest insight you got from today's episode? And those willing to go above and beyond, what is the action that you're going to take because of it? Insight without action is worthless. As always, the best conversations happen on leadersinthetrenches.com. So go there and leave a comment now. I love to answer questions, share free resources for you, and get to know you just a little bit more. If you like this podcast, subscribe to it now, and you'll never miss an episode, and share it with a friend so that you could share that dose of wisdom and inspiration. And finally, if you want to be included in the special updates that we only share in email, then subscribe at leadersinthetrenches.com. Thanks for listening in.